set a plan in place to address the deficiency, outline in a management letter, and we need to set a goal like, you know, we can be adventurous and say in 12 months or 24 months so that the next two audits will have, like, you know, very few items on the management letter, and the next, and in 2 years, there should be no management letter concerning deficiencies of the finance organization. And so those are the major items, again, kind of brush on them, where we need to really look at and address issues. And the major thing, I think, with Arlene as our new executive director is working with the various stations and looking at fundraising and how do you really address that and are there means to not only the fundraising part but also the fulfillment part and development do to make that, particularly I know with BAI, definitely and desperately needed, and to put the people in place and the right set of skills with those people to have successful drives, not only to raise the money, but to be able to fulfill the drives themselves.
Thanks very much.
Okay. Oh, sure, you're welcome.
Mm-hmm. Fred?
Yes, just briefly, Laverne, thank you for some very detailed and useful information. My primary interest this evening goes to the fiscal accountability, but I'll defer that until I believe Arlene is going to speak to it. Just a quick one. There were a number of, at least one special assessment, that may not be the right term, to the stations in connection, among other things, with the HEAF matter. As I recall, in the case of KPFK, it was $26,000. Per year for 3 years. My question is whether we have been successful in getting a replacement check, whether that assessment therefore still stands or does not stand, and whether there are any other special assessments. I spoke yesterday with Anthony, and he thought there was something related to a bond or insurance or something or other.
I think most of what you're saying reflects some real confusion on that part. First of all, HEAF bequest was in four parts: $375,000 to the national office, $370,000 to KPFA, and then approximately $50,500 each in interest because of the time it had taken from the time that they awarded that to us to the time that it was delivered.
Yes, sir.
Three of those four checks were deposited. Both of the $50,000 plus checks were deposited, and they were interest, so they were meant for operating and have been used that way. The $375,000 were to be restricted, but with the qualification that if the foundation or KPFA had exigent circumstances, that money could be used for operating or anything else that was needed. The check that the national office deposited was used for other things, but we did it in the form of a note to ourselves. We used it to pay off a loan that had much higher interest. And that's the money that you're talking about that is coming back into the HEAF account from the stations. It is the money that would have been much higher if the stations were having to pay off the loan that had been taken out. But by converting that to a loan to ourselves, it's at a very reasonable interest rate. The other $375,000 check to KPFA is the piece that was not deposited, expired. And the latest word on that is that our attorney has been told that the foundation board is meeting this weekend and will determine exactly how, and for that matter, a final determination of if they are going to replace that check. They may replace it with far more stringent controls. In other words, in the control of a third party where we only have access to the interest, where the original bequest would have allowed KPFA to use that if there were exigent circumstances. That's the situation as it stands now. If you have any other questions, I'll attempt to answer those on
yeah,
that.
Thank you. Just a quick follow-up. I'm understanding that we borrowed something from ourselves and are now paying it back via, in the case of a three-year payback for a total of $300,000. You're saying as well that we're hoping, but are not, to get that $375 back. They're a replacement check, albeit with more stringent requirements. I didn't follow then what it is that we are paying back. Are we paying back pending?
We're paying back the $375 that was awarded to the national office, which was used to pay off a loan.
Which loan?
It was meant to be a restricted fund, and so it was ruled that there were exigent circumstances to go ahead and use it, but the PNB determined that the wisest thing to do would be for us to replace that money, and to be perfectly honest, it is that fact that will play the biggest role in us getting the other $375,000 check replaced.
Did
you say what's the purpose?
I was wondering what was the for which that money was borrowed from our foundation and is now being repaid by the stations.
It wasn't borrowed. It was borrowed by the foundation from a bank. As far as I understand it, in order to make operating expenses at one point in time. That's before my time.
Would you like me to clarify?
Sure.
Some of us were on the finance committee when all this happened, myself and Alberto, and I'm not sure whom else. At the time, we did not. Yes, our Paul, of course. yes, there were severe budget issues with, payroll and absolute operating expenses of the foundation because several of the stations were not making their central services in a timely fashion, and that was the need for the operating money. I think if I'm understanding where you're going, Fred, is there a secondary question as to whether the stations will be paid back that money once the foundation reissues a check, or?
No.
Yeah. I had initially been under the hope, I guess, that would happen, and I'm hearing that those are perhaps two separate things. But yes, let that be the question.
Lauren, can I kind of address this? When the decision was made to get a line of credit from Wells Fargo, it was probably $300,000, and what was used was a CD. Of about $470,000 or $400,000. So what would happen is that the board at that time decided to use the KPFA CD as collateral for this line of credit, which they then used to pay operating expenses, our line of credit for $300,000. But in the meantime, the plan to pay back the $300,000 line of credit was to actually get a loan for $1 million. So the plan was to get a loan of $1 million for operating expenses. And at that time, this was put forward by the National Finance Committee. I apologize to all people on there now because I know you didn't support it. But so that was the plan, was to get this $1 million loan, and they were going to use the collateral for the loan would be KPFK's building.
Right.
So some of the KPFA directors paid really close attention to the fact that their facilities would be up for collateral in case this loan cannot be paid. So Grace Aaron, looked at it very carefully, and she found there was this huge balloon payment on this, and plus all the rules that go with that type of loan, financial results, quarterly, monthly, it could be called in at any time. So, and as you know, are probably aware that in 2008 and 2009, our financial circumstances in terms of the audit and the results would show that we had a huge loss. So, therefore, if the loan would have been called in, then either KPFAK, that's doing really well in terms of finance, certainly would not allow their building to be sold from under them. So the only other asset that the foundation has. So if this loan put our very viable.
Of interference on the line. Can everyone mute your phones, please? Thank you.
And so this loan and the network at risk. So therefore, it was voted down or it didn't make it because of it was revealed about this. So in the meantime, the budget went forward for fiscal 2009 during this period, which was like September, October, November, and also coincidentally, this was the time that the $375,000 check was given to KPFA and the national office. So when they went into the budget, there was no plan, no strategy, no anything to pay back this $300,000 line of credit. So luckily, in the summer of this year, along with our corporate counsel, Ricardo Dianda, we were trying to determine, all of us at the time were trying to determine how we're going to pay this back because it was due like in August. So in consultation with Ricardo and Grace and I, we came up with a solution that we would, rather than try to get another line of credit, and, you know, based on our financial circumstances weren't that great in terms of because of the stress and, the economy and, lower fundraising and due to also some issues at the stations that were corrected or being corrected now. So we came up with a solution that, you know, rather than try to go out into the market and borrow from Wells or wherever at some interest rate, we would just borrow from ourselves because we were truly in exigent circumstances. So that's exactly what we did. Now, there was a lot of resistance or criticism on this method to do this, but we did it. So in doing this, what we did is we gave back the CD that KPFA had. We actually set up another line of credit in use for $100,000, and we used $100,000 of that $473,000 CD that we were holding, KPFA CD. So then we gave that money back to KPFA to use for operating expenses. It was no longer tied up. It was no longer restricted. And then we borrowed the $300,000 and then eventually another $75,000 due to exigent circumstances from ourselves. And I arranged that we paid ourselves a very generous interest rate also. So that's what we did. That's what happened. That's where the $375,000, that's why it's being paid back. And let me just say one other thing, that the decision to go to this line of credit, the decision or the circumstances that was propelling this $1 million loan, you know, this was not made like, you know, WBAI has the financial, we were in deficit spending, but, you know, this decision was not made by only the directors of WBAI. These decisions are made by the board. They are to be shared by the board and by those directors from those stations. So that's why it's very, very important that the decisions we make, we have to make it in the interest of the whole foundation, not just in terms of how it will benefit your station. So again, this is why we have a line of credit. This is why each station is paying it back.
Yeah, I'm not concerned whether it benefits this station or the other, Arlene, but I am just simply interested in understanding it.
Hello. This is LaVarne. That was me talking. Sorry.
Yes, I understand. Is there, in the likelihood of that assessment to the stations going away, I'm gathering, is not under consideration at the present time in connection with possibly obtaining that a new check from the Heath Foundation?
That new check would go into a restricted account for KPFA and has really no bearing on the rest of this.
Okay. Thank you very much.
LaVarne?
Yes.
Madam Chair, can I just add one small sentence to the foundation, the Heath Fund? Basically, and this is for you, Fred, the Heath Fund said that they would allow us to borrow the money from their Heath Fund with the hopes of keeping it for as long as possible in assisting our foundation. So therefore, basically, I guess to round it up, we are paying ourselves back that money so that we can have that money available for future, quote-unquote, emergencies, and we don't spend it. And it's like a savings account for our own self.
Thank you, Alberto. Paul?
This is Arlene. This very well could be the reason, if we get that replacement check, that we do get it.
Thank you, Arlene. Our Paul?
Yeah. The bylaws require that the LSVs review the budget on a quarterly basis. And so the first quarter of FY10 ended on December 31st. And it's really sort of overdue time for the LSBs to be reviewing the budget, seeing how close or how far away we are from it. And we really probably need some extra documents to help us do that.
There's a document that Laverne sent out that details that for each station. You should have that.
When was I don't it think sent? That hit the NFC.
Yeah, no, because I only got the P&L.
Did you get
That's got the budget, though. It's got the budgetary figures in a column, so you've got that comparison with the budget to date, and then you'll find the budget for the year in the right column.
When was that sent, please?
No.
You mean in the P&L?
The P&L on page 4 has central services broken out by station, but I did not see a breakout on overall budgetary compliance by station in the 4-page document I received.
Okay. Oh, there's a 3-page document for each station that was with that.
We did not receive that on NFC.
What day was that sent, please? This is Fred.
Yeah, I got a 1-page P&L.
I got a 4-page.
Call receiving anything.
Okay, I'll resend what I sent. Let me just find it, and I'll send it.
And remember that you have to go across the tabs on the bottom to get all the 3-page documents.
Yeah.
Thank you. If you could just resend that, Laverne, that would be great for everyone and for each station.
Okay.
And, Paul, did you have any other questions?
Okay, I just want to clarify. So for WBAI, since the rent thing is a big deal, we're 1 month behind at Empire and 2 months behind at 120 Wall?
It looks like that we are, if you just look at the month of February, we're 1 month behind in at Empire State, and they would like their payment. I spoke with them. They would like it paid by March the 10th. And then for the month of March, they would like it paid by the end of March. So they're willing to work with WBAI and with us because we've had conversations, develop a relationship. But if you don't comply with that, they are not very happy. And with Silverstein, with 120 Wall Street, we have January and February to pay. But the January payment should be a check cut like today, this week. So that means that we would have February to pay and March. So again, that's 2 months.
Okay. Thank you.
Alex?
Yes. Some of what I wanted to ask, Arpal just asked. Obviously, WBAI is in a rather precarious situation. And there are several issues relating to it that I'm still not clear about. We seem to have trouble getting timely updates as to the seriousness of our situation. And I'm wondering, Laban, if you could give us some kind of projection of how we could get monthly figures in an easily understandable form for non-specialists such as myself so that we could fulfill our fiscal fiduciary responsibilities, and particularly when a station is owing money to the landlord or the antenna or something like that. Do you need some extra resources in the national office? Do we need some extra personnel in the local business offices? Do we need some new kind of software to produce the report? That's the kind of thing I'd like to know. What can we do to assist in that?
I'm glad you asked that question, Alex, because our other major responsibility, which is usually worked through the audit committee, though, is to update our financial policies and procedures. And the procedure is that we agreed in the finance committee last year is to close the books on the fifth workday, and that after you close the books, we review it here at National Office, then your business manager is able to actually produce a report with the results. I mean, it shows the monthly results, and it shows the budget, and you can write in a column that shows the variance to budget. So that's something that each business manager is, that's in their responsibilities, and that's what they're required to do. So so we're going to redo the policies and procedures, and so that it, so what will come out of national office will be the report, like the report I'm sending you, now, is a report that shows that will be, you know, more detail. We'll have variances and have a little written narrative on the major variances. But I know specifically what you want to know is that when you close those books, what are the numbers? And that's a report that you generate out of general ledger, out of Great Plains, and this report writer called FXRX. That's a doable thing. That's what the business managers do at other stations.
It's not just the current numbers, of course. We want to know what the variances are in with past quarters, but even perhaps more important, what is the projected cash flow situation into the next period? Because sometimes the numbers are deceptive. Right now, we're in the middle of a fund drive. Cash is coming in. When the fund drive is over, we're going to be cash poor. So we need to know. We need to know what could we expect in the near term as far as the cash flow situation, and what could we do to anticipate problems in that area?
Well, what we also do is that, you know, what I ask for, particularly from BAI, is almost like a daily cash flow to see what's going on. But also what I requested last year and what we got was actually a projected cash flow. So that you're exactly right. You'll know what the where there's a precarious cash situation, you need to know that. Now, I understand your business manager actually attended some of the your local station board finance committee. So at that time, that person should have, like, exactly, there's a report called an age trial balance. What you have to do is just print that report out of your general ledger, and it will list what's been paid, all your invoices, what's been paid, you know, any accruals there, and what you need to do. So that's information. You just pull it out, and that will tell you exactly the information. That information is available on a daily basis, as long as you have to go in and work that report every day. When the invoices come in, you have to input it into general ledger. You know, when you actually, you know, and when revenue come in, you have to post that into the general ledger. And you have to do that in order for us to close on the fifth workday. So that information is readily available when you schedule your local finance committee meetings. You should be able to get that report, get that information from your business manager, and also if that person produces the age trial balance, that information will be on there. It's clear. You can read it. So that's what you'll have to work with your local business manager to get that information.
And I would suggest that if for any reason any station is having problems getting that from the business manager, that they deal with the GM, and if they're still having problems, then you need to talk to Laverne or me, and we will address that issue.
Okay. I have a couple of follow-up comments, if that's okay.
Go ahead, Alex.
It's kind of a question, but perhaps I should save it for the a private session. It has to do with a discrepancy as to whether WBI received or did not receive funds from the CPB. I'll leave that to your discretion.
That one we can deal with here. That's perfectly open. And yes, WBAI did receive funds. We sent a copy, Lynn sent a copy of the check that was put in the WBAI account, a portion of those CPB funds, and again, your business manager was informed that a portion of it was used to refund the payroll that had been advanced by the national office.
Due to the fact that $99,000 in receipts were sitting at the post office.
But the point is that, yes, you received the entire amount.
And okay,
also,
thank you for clarifying.
Both the CPB regular, you know, annual grant in December and the stimulus check in January.
Okay. My final point is that We do have someone, a former board member, who is volunteering to help the station restructure some of its operations so that we could hopefully dramatically improve the fulfillment rate and certain other areas that we're sort of deficient in. And I would like to know, I would hope that the national office will give this its full support and encouragement.
We've already expressed support of that idea, at least, and I will be in New York the week that that meeting is supposed to be held in order to begin to at least discuss the feasibility of that and hopefully implement it. And so I'll be attending that meeting.
Thank you, Arlene.
Oh, and also, when this offer was made, it was when we were in transition, when I was coming back to Berkeley from being the interim general manager, and I wholeheartedly welcome that, and I asked this former board member to start, like, a month ago. But he wanted to wait and present his credentials to the new interim general manager, and that's what he's done.
Okay.
Thank you.
Are you done, Alex?
Yes, I am.
Okay, thank you. I have one question, LaVarne, and then we should probably move on to the next item since it's already after 7. And that is, you said that 4 out of the 5 stations are closing their books on the 5th, but one of them is not. Is that correct?
One... More or less. Another one is sometime a little late, but not where Lynn had to close the books for the one station last Friday in order for me to produce reports for the P&B meeting and for you.
Okay. Is this a chronic issue or something that can be addressed that we can get them all running on the same schedule? Do you think?
Yeah. Let's discuss some of this in closed session.
I think we could say this. It's a chronic issue, and we're dealing with the general manager to address it.
Okay. That brings me to my final question. Each of our business managers can give each individual LSB this data, which they do for the local finance committees. I think the concern of some people, and maybe the nature of that other motion, is getting some of that data to the National Finance Committee. Is there an appropriate way for us to interface with those individual stations to have those reports simply forwarded on to the NFC? Because if it's a matter of simply hitting send, it shouldn't be that complicated, I would think.
Yeah, they can send it, but also the requirement here in the national office is for these reports to go out. We close by the 5th. We should have the reports out in like three business days at the max. So your reports would come from this office,
okay,
the National Finance Committee. I mean, but if you can get the reports from the other stations just for comparison, if they can get it out quickly, that's a good idea.
Well, I'm just trying to think whatever way we'll facilitate it the best and also for scheduling our future meetings so that we have, you know, again, the freshest data when we have the meeting. So, okay, great. Thank you.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I was on the stack, and I'm now at the bottom of the stack.
I apologize, Alberto. I did
Thank
not hear
you.
Your voice. Okay, Alberto, you are next.
I'll be very brief to add to your comments for the question that you brought before LaVarne. Very quickly, at KPFT, we have had the goodwill and the good luck that our reports, that income versus actual reports, are presented to the local station board and of course to the local finance committee on a monthly basis. We go through that process that LaVarne's been telling us that we are hopefully getting to that point throughout the network, and those reports that are produced through our business manager out of Great Plains get sent to the general manager, and the general manager forwards them to us, the local station board, and they've also been forwarded to the national office, both LaVarne and Arlene. And in my discussion in the past couple of weeks going back to getting prepared for this meeting, I was hoping that copies of those particular reports that each one of the stations put out would be sent to us so that we could review each one of the signal areas reports based on the product the production that comes out of Great Plains from each one of the signal areas. And I think that's what you're alluding to, and I'm hoping that we'll be able to, in the near future, actually review station by station each of the processes that are happening within the station. In closing, I want to point out that our CFO did mention the fact that as far as KPFT was concerned, we were under budget, but at the same time, our expenses were keeping in pace with our income. And therefore, we were actually pretty much balancing the amount of money that was coming into our bank account versus the amount of money that was going out. And I want to say that even though budget versus actuals, there's a great variance, I would want to say, and I'm kind of guesstimating, that it would be around $50,000 at the moment. We have cut our expenses by $50,000 in the first 4 months of operation, to the point where our general manager gave us the report at our local station board meeting Wednesday a week ago, where we actually were $200,000 in difference from the money that was coming in versus the money that was going out. And I think this kind of information is very helpful, not only for us, but for the other members of this committee, so that they can actually look at how each one of their radio stations that they represent on this body are doing. And I hope that we can get those kinds of information available to all of us members that represent the different signal areas, so that we can get a good idea as to how we're doing, and that will answer a lot of the questions that we have before our administrators here. Thank you.
Yeah, I just want to say that Alberto said that the revenue for the first 4 months was $408,000 for KPFT, and the expenses were $356,000. So that's for $50,000, I believe you're speaking of.
Yeah.
That's before central services, but just straight revenue and expenses. Thank you.
And those figures are all reflected in the report that Laverne sent out yesterday that she's resending to you today.
Excellent.
And you will be getting that on a monthly basis from this office.
Excellent. Thank you. Thank you, Laverne. Next on the agenda would be Arlene, correct? Arpal? Arlene's report?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead, Arlene. Thank you.
Okay. I have several items, and then I'll get to the fiscal accountability plan. The first is our audit, and I just want to extend a little bit on what Laverne was saying, and this is more of an audit committee issue than a finance committee, but since it's involving so many dollars this year, I think it bears reporting to both.
Thank you.
I did receive a draft of the report late this afternoon, and so that'll be my midnight reading tonight as I sit there in bed. And we hope within days to wrap that up. The expense has, as Laverne pointed out, greatly exceeded what we had budgeted for it and what we had hoped to spend. And part of that is due to some of the issues that emerged during the year that have taken some time to trace back, everything from the Heath account to the Leonard grant to the lockbox at WBAI to other issues. But part of it has also involved an issue of cooperation from some of the stations, and part of that has been, I'll put it in quotes, attitude, and part of it has been the fact that the audit has taken so long, it has been a real drain on just about everyone, and it has overlapped with fund drives, which means that our business managers have, you know, which do I do here? I need to process the money that's coming in from the fund drive, but I need to get this stuff for the auditor. So it's definitely created some difficulties that are very real and, in all honesty, not easy to address. And so we will be dealing with those. I think we do need to ask the audit committee, once this audit is finished, to take a good look at what's happened with the audit this year and to determine whether it was done as efficiently as it could have been and to make some determinations for the future. The second issue is over credit card expense, and I've asked Laverne to take a good look at what is happening in our various areas and bank accounts with that, because it looks to me like some of our credit card expense is too high. We're using an intermediary to process that credit card money, and that both delays it getting into the bank accounts. It means that it has to be swept in, and at the time that it was set up that way, it's my understanding that that was a cheaper alternative than working just directly with the banks, but that may not be the case right now. Right. So I have asked Laverne to address that. We're not talking huge dollars, but let's face it, any place that we can become more efficient is to our advantage. The next issue on my list is the outstanding debt to Democracy Now! And Free Speech Radio News. I have been in contact with both organizations. I met with Amy when I was in New York, and she is working with us in some areas. I don't have an answer yet. In all honesty, when we're 4 months behind, I wasn't in a great position to be asking her to give great considerations to us, but she did agree that she understood our financial plight and was very understanding that when I told her that I hoped to be in a position to have paid off our debts in just about all areas by the end of the year. She offered some concession to one station that has had problems paying for their premiums to the point that she was not shipping premiums to them and is shipping them for this round on the basis that I assured her that I would work with the station to be sure that she begins to get paid for those premiums. And I also asked her to consider foregoing the small increase that is built into her contract, and she told me she would take that under advisement, and we're due to talk about that in a couple of weeks. In the case of Free Speech Radio News, they are very much almost totally dependent on us for their very survival, and they are desperately in need of money before their next payroll. So Laverne and I are trying to work with paying off a portion of that debt so that we can make sure that we keep them afloat and provide that services both to our five sister stations and also to our affiliates as, you know, part of the agreement with the affiliates. The fifth issue the next issue that I would like to mention is Laverne referred to subcarrier revenue, and I would very much like to suggest that the subcarrier revenue that is coming in, and this comes partly as a request from two of the stations that are getting some subcarrier revenue, they both owe considerable central services. It seems to me that it is part of their system and that revenue should be in some way credited to them, and I would like to recommend that we credit that revenue to their central services debt. And that's a recommendation that I'd like to see the committee take up. In terms of reserves were mentioned earlier, and it may have sounded like there were, you know, some decent money there, and our cash flow at this moment, now that fund drives are in process, is certainly not as desperate as it was a month ago, and January is always the toughest time for the foundation and for all of our stations. But I would also like to suggest that with the exception of K&T, we are in still pretty precarious financial situation at all of the other levels. And so we really need to all work together to do everything that we can to tighten our belt without sacrificing the programming that we deliver, to work on ways to help each other, to improve our income to expense ratios, to save wherever we can. And that just needs to be a message that I think every board member carries back to their local, and we just have to keep reminding people of that over and over and over. And the other thing is, Laverne mentioned it, but I'd like to restate it since several of you asked it in questions. When she sends out the monthly report with the, you know, finances for each station included, she will also highlight the areas that each station should be looking at. And it will also give everyone else an idea where the issues are at sister stations. So it will give you a picture of what's happening at your station that you can take back to your individual finance committee meetings. And it will also give you a picture of the overall. You can compare it with other stations, with the other sister stations, and with the foundation overall. And then finally, getting to the fiscal accountability plan, we are in the process of developing the specific guidelines and a policy and procedure manual that will both address that and other financial issues that have been addressed either by the board, by us as weaknesses, or in the 2008 and when we receive it very shortly, the 2009 audit. And working to, as Laverne said, reach a point where we'll never reach a point where there won't be any management letter, but where our management letter doesn't contain any significant issues or problems. And I think that we can progress a long way on that this year. Laverne expects to have a draft of the policies and procedures manual in my hands by the end of March, and I expect to have it ready to go to the Finance Committee and the Audit Committee early in April, and we'll be moving forward with that. And I'll be glad to take any further questions.
Stack.
I'll take a stack. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Alberto?
Yes.
Okay. Alberto, who else?
Thank
you. Fred on the stack, please.
Fred, okay. Go ahead, Alberto.
Okay. Arlene, at the end of 2007, at the last board meeting of 2007, the National Board adopted financial policies and procedures that were put out to the local senior areas at the beginning of the year 2008.
Mm-hmm.
I was involved as the treasurer at KPFT. And our good colleague, George Ryder, was the chairman of the local finance committee. And we received instructions to go and sit with our local station manager and our business manager to review the policies and procedures, financial policies and procedures with them, and to give, if I may use the term, a report card in where we went over the policies and procedures that affected the local station, and a report was produced that was sent to the National Finance Committee, and it never left the National Finance Committee because our chair had other priorities, and we never got back to dealing with how the local stations were complying with the financial policies and procedures at that particular time. That is something that has to be done, and I'm hoping that at a point in time we'll be able to get the local station treasurers, the local station finance chairmen, and the committee to sit with management and review how they are complying with the policies and procedures. Now, having said, getting off the stump, are we picking up this document that Laverne is preparing to either of you, or is that picking up from that particular document
yes.
of 2 years ago?
It's picking up from that document. It's also addressing the concerns that have been expressed, as I say, in last year's audit, and that we know are coming in this year's audit. So it's picking up on all of those. We do know that some stations are doing a lot better job than others in terms of following that, but we also know there are some discrepancies in that old policies and procedures, and there are some, you know, changes that will be coming to that. So we're using that as a starting point for the new document.
One of the findings that we found as we both myself and Dr. Ryder sat down and spent considerable amount of time, several hours, to go over them back then, about two-thirds of the document dealt with the national office and how they handled themselves internally in this whole financial policies and procedures aspect. And I want to stress to ourselves and to you all that a great bulk of the policies and procedures for us to meet the policies and procedures, a lot of it lies also with the national office.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what I want to point out, that we went over all the documents and two-thirds of them applied to the national office and about a third applied to us at the local stations.
Okay. Do you have anything further, Alberto?
That's it.
Okay. Thank you. Fred?
Yes. Arlene, thank you for your explanation. You're moving ahead with procedures. I sent off a missive to everyone trying to summarize what I understood FAP to be as proposed to NFC and subsequently as adopted by PNB, provided a straw person example of an alternative to FAP and penned some recommended action items. To the extent practical, I'm wondering how your plans relate to what I've proposed here. My guess is that the key item in FAP has been the establishment of those six national accounts. My suggestion here is that we need a business analysis. We need to consider options. My personal hope is that you're going to be able to find the time and the ability to take a fresh look. And I'm just looking very briefly for a sense of where you're going with it, and not least with the national accounts.
Our auditor has made the very strong statement that it is the national that is responsible, and on that basis that national needs to have control of the funds that are coming in. And so that's basically the basis, the starting point of the financial accountability plan.
My guess is that, the mere fact that an auditor recommended something does not preclude our giving our consideration to it. There are perhaps as many approaches to this as there are auditors. But I am hearing that you're going to go ahead with national accounts and that you're not in a position or desirous of considering alternatives at this time.
This is LaVarne. For anyone who has an opinion on this, we gladly would like to hear that in order to make it work perfectly. But let me tell you that this process was actually the way it had been done in the past. In fact, Mariana Berkovic, I believe, from the Pacifica Radio Archives, actually used to work with the national office when it was in L.A. So, this is the process that had been done in the past. And, so they have, I have information. I've talked briefly with them. I'll talk more with them in terms of how they had done it in the past and how it worked and how it didn't, and any issues with that. So, I'm to anyone to hear any plan to see how that would improve what we're trying to do.
Madam Chair, point of information?
Yes.
The National Finance Committee, at a meeting last month, month and a half ago, adopted this resolution to consolidate the national bank accounts. It went to the national board, and the National Board approved it handily. And I think that I just need to add the fact that it's not Arlene arbitrarily doing this decision. I think the whole structure, the whole organization, Fred, has gone ahead and adopted it.
I understand that, and I don't want to be out of line here. I would suggest, though, that Laverne's point, I think your point is somewhat more to the point, the point that this is history. History is something that in many cases, looking back in the last 2,000-3,000 years of history, we want to get away from and improve on. I've gotten my response. We're not considering alternatives. We're going to proceed. I think personally that it's unfortunate not to give thought to this. I think it's going to have an adverse impact on the Elan and the nature of the organization that we want to be, and I'd appeal to you to reconsider. But thank you.
This is LaVarne. You know, why don't you just, whatever document you have that outlines your, but just send it to us. I mean, you know, Let me just add one other thing.
It's on Yahoo Groups. You have it.
My name, okay, thank you. My name is LaVarne. And the other thing I really want to add is that I can talk about that in closed session, but okay, thank you.
Okay, are there any other questions for Arlene? Because we're already at past 7:30, and on the East Coast, that's past 10:30.
This is Alonzo. I just have one quick...
Of course. Go ahead, Alonzo. You haven't spoken yet.
Every now and then I see things like on the first of each month, the national office would transfer the budgeted funds for each station. All funds collected will be deposited in the station revenue account. Deposits will be monitored and reconciled by the national office. I'd like to know who's supposed to do that, what office is supposed to do that, because I'm afraid of, you know, phrases like mistakes were made, and I'd like to know what individual is going to be assigned to those specific tasks.
Thank you, Alonzo. Go ahead.
This is LaVarne. Yeah, we have an assistant controller who would do that.
Okay, thank you.
Is that Lynn Magno?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions for Arlene or LaVarne before we move on? Okay. Hearing none. Paul, what's next on the agenda, please?
Well, income and expense report that was sent out will be in this previous item. Did we cover that?
You mean the document that she's just resent?
Yeah.
Okay, yes. No, we have not gone over that.
But a point of information, madam?
Yes, please.
I think that at the beginning of the meeting, we said that we had discussed the fact that LaVarne was going to be making reference to that document and that we would not spend any time on it at the moment.
Okay, that's what I had thought when I tuned
in.
Okay. And R. Paul, is there anything on the agenda after that?
Yeah.
Or executive session?
Well, before that.
Before that thing.
Meeting date.
Next meeting date. So I would suggest, because we're already after 7:30, I think we should always adjourn these meetings by 8 o'clock, since it's 11 o'clock in New York by then, if at all possible. Why don't we work on setting the next meeting date, and then if we're going to go into executive session for a short period of time, do that? Does that sound good to everyone?
Motions in order on this?
I have some kind of a point, which I don't know what point it is.
Go ahead.
But let me give you a little bit of background. Tuesday, for the past several years, we used to meet on Tuesday. It is not possible now, since there's members of this committee that work until very late and cannot meet on Tuesdays. We thought of Wednesdays. And this discussion was basically held in Washington to see if we could have a meeting on Wednesday. Obviously, local station boards, I think, meet on Wednesday. I know that KPFT meets on the third Wednesday of the month. I don't know what Wednesday is a good Wednesday for everybody. And then the next day was Thursday, for us to meet on a Thursday. And one of the discussions that we were having behind closed doors was that we needed to set a date that everybody would be comfortable with and that we could all come together on that particular date. And as far as setting a date, I think a quick one is to say which would be a better date. Tuesday is not a good date. Wednesday or Thursday? And then how far into the future do we want to meet again to pick up where we left today?
Alberto, can I say something?
Yes.
This is Alex. The WBILSB meets on alternate Wednesdays and Thursdays. It's like something set in stone that was adopted a long time ago. So neither of those dates are great. Can I ask, who is it that cannot make Tuesdays? Because Tuesdays are actually best for me.
I think the treasurer from KPFT, and I think it was a problem for a couple other people. You know, I was thinking, this is a slightly larger discussion, but the whole thing of technology and finance inadvertently both getting scheduled at the same time today as well. We could afford to have a more elongated discussion via email because we should be able to get all of the local committee schedules and the national committee schedules synchronized since, you know, you meet in the second week for one thing and the third week for another so that you can, you know, you can have things on Wednesdays and Thursdays if you're not meeting in the same week. So we may not be able to get that resolved tonight, but it is something with some further discussion. I think we ought to be able to mesh the wheels together for the entire year so that we don't have overlapping schedule issues in the future. Now, are your board at WBAI alternating Wednesdays? Is there a particular week of the month that they meet Wednesday or Thursday, second or third?
Remember the formula? There's some formula week.
Well, are you having a meeting there today, a local station board meeting?
There's a meeting tomorrow.
No.
This is one of those Thursday meetings, but I think every other month we're supposed to meet on Wednesday and the month after that on a Thursday.
If I may.
Who is talking?
R. Paul.
Hi, R. Paul.
R. Paul knows the details better than I do.
Actually, the motion that was passed 13 months ago was that the LSB would meet on the second Wednesday of the month. And if it needed to have an additional meeting or something like that, it would meet on the fourth Thursday. This month it happens that the second Wednesday got snowed out. So we are meeting on the fourth Thursday. But the set dates are the second Wednesday of every month. Okay.
Let me ask this as the feeling of the body. There was some discussion also that because of the generally crushing workload of national finance that we probably should be meeting twice a month as a regular scheduled basis. You know, preferably not meeting every week, but probably meeting once a month isn't sufficient. Is there any objection to that as a general theory that we meet every 2 weeks on NFC?
No.
Need to. More often, sometimes.
Well, occasionally, yes. During budget season last year, we met literally weekly, but that was hell. Hopefully, we'll have it going a little faster this year. But now, we haven't gotten our schedule set at the LSB in Los Angeles. It used to be our custom to have our meetings in the third week of the month, alternating Tuesdays and Saturdays. So we'll see if we go back to that or not. Is there any sense of the body? If we meet 2 weeks from now, that will be in the first week of, is that the first or second week of March? We're in the last week. First week. I think
that
it'll
would
still
be March 10th when BAI meets.
March 10th is when BAI meets. So that's
second
your Thursday.
Wednesday.
Say again?
Second Wednesday.
Yeah.
That's your second Wednesday. Okay. What if we met on the Thursday 2 weeks from now? Does that conflict with anyone's schedules?
Conflicts with mine, Jim.
Hi, Jim.
That's a problem for me, too.
Is that a problem in general or just this particular one?
Oh, this particular one, but that whole week is a problem for me.
Okay. Well, we don't always have to have the ED on every single call. Is it a problem for you as well, LaVarne, or is it just for Arlene?
I'm sorry, I was called away from the phone for a minute. What date are we discussing?
We're discussing 2 weeks from now, like Thursday 2 weeks from now. The whole week is a problem for Arlene. Is that week a problem for you, LaVarne, or are you available on the Thursday 2 weeks from now?
That's March 11th, I can do.
March 11th?
It's okay with me.
11th, yeah.
Okay, so that would be my suggestion right now, is that we meet at, 5:30 Pacific, 8:30 Eastern, on March 11th, a Thursday. If we need, should we take a vote on that?
Before we take a vote, can I ask WPFW when they meet?
Yes, please, Alonzo. Or Bruce?
We meet the second Wednesday.
Okay.
We meet on a Wednesday also.
Right, but I meet the second Thursday for the Affiliates Committee.
Okay. The second
Thursday.
If I
can end it, I'll end it. Sure, I'll tell them I'm leaving. So I'll make the 8:30.
Okay, and what about for KPFA and KPFT? Is this acceptable to you?
This is KPFA. We'll be meeting for our board meeting on March 7th. And I think April 8th, and we've not planned further ahead than that. So.
Okay, well, I'm thinking we need to do, I'm going to try and initiate some discussion on the net between our PNB meetings and our committee meetings and our local LSB meetings, and hopefully maybe we could get this somewhat better coordinated, and then we could set for the whole year, and that way we know what we're all doing. But can we go ahead and, is there, can we take a vote on meeting Thursday, March 11th as our next meeting, please?
Is there objection? I mean,
yeah. Are there any objections?
I would just like to give a point of information. In general, it's fine if you decide to meet on this Thursday, the 11th. This is Jim, but I cannot meet on Thursdays ever. Actually,
ever.
So
ever.
In the future, if it could be on another day, that would be good.
Okay. Well, why don't we just set this one meeting, and then we'll come back hopefully with more information from the signals areas. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
This is Tracy. This is just a point of information as well. I don't know if it matters. Maybe it doesn't. My understanding is that the Archives Committee, I'm sorry, the Affiliates Committee, meets on the 11th every month for the rest of the year. They actually did set their schedule in advance.
Okay. Well,
and I think we were told not to double schedule committee meetings, so
okay,
that
well,
might
no,
be a problem.
I don't want to do that again. All right, let's look at an alternative date.
Sorry.
That's okay. No, Tracy, I'd much rather get it. I feel really bad. I've got to personally apologize to Kathy Davis that we stepped on each other's schedules here. So.
Yeah, it just occurred to me that they did say the 11th every month.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. Then I would suggest we either have the option of meeting earlier, we can meet next week, or later the following week, or on a different day. But Wednesday sounds like it's also busy during that week. So we could meet. Probably somebody's meeting on Mondays by now, I'm sure.
Can Madam Chair, can we give you the authority to check your calendar and get back with us?
Yes, why don't I do that? I'll poll the committee this week and try to get
and
a feel for what other people are doing and check with Otis, and we'll try to book it into a day that doesn't overlap with other people's committee schedules. How does that sound?
I have a question.
Yes.
Off Osborne. You're saying that the PNB committees can no longer have two on the same night?
It was asked.
Pretty much.
Well, yeah, I mean, we've been sent a motion to that effect, but also I had an extended conversation with Otis. It presents technical difficulties for them streaming both of them at the same time. And right now, several of the members of Finance Committee are also members of the Technology Committee. So I don't even know if they made quorum because we're all here. So I think it would be advantageous in general if we could try to sync in our schedules so that we don't overlap committee meetings whenever possible. So. Either we pick another day now, or if the body wants to authorize me to go ahead and poll everyone and send out, like, you know, two or three tentative dates within the next couple of days by Friday, that would be acceptable to me if that
because
suits
everyone.
Because
we need to cinch a spot on the calendar, as, you know, before somebody takes it.
Of course. Quick. So does that suit the body, or do you want to continue discussion on this now?
I'd be fine to do it on the 4th if you're asking for our comment on the date you propose, Summer.
Okay, and that is next Thursday, correct?
I believe so, yes.
Yes.
Does that suit anyone else? It's earlier. You know, normally I don't want to get into the habit of meeting weekly, but I don't mind if we do it now until we get things on an even keel.
So we're suggesting Thursday, March 4th?
Like, it would be next week. It would just be to continue this and have a better feel for our schedules, and we'll get them synced out after that.
Next Wednesday. I'm sorry. I'm just trying to catch
that.
Wednesday, March 3rd.
Is?
Could we maybe use dates on this calendar? It's just March 3rd.
March 3rd is Wednesday, and March 4th is a Thursday, correct?
Right. And we're talking about Wednesday.
No, he had mentioned Thursday, actually.
Okay, I can't do it if it's Thursday, March 4th, which is not the end of the world. I can do it if it's the 3rd.
Right.
Are there any objections from anyone else to doing it on Wednesday, March 3rd?
No, is there another meeting on March 4th?
I'll look right now. Sorry.
Tracy.
Hold on. I'll check the calendar.
Oh.
If that's helpful, I can look at
Thank you. I appreciate it, Tracy.
Yeah, I'm sitting in front of a computer, so.
Thank you.
How about the second Tuesday of the week?
Tuesdays apparently are a continuing problem for certain people.
Yes. Wednesday, March 3rd, there is a coordinating committee meeting, and that would be a conflict for me, at least,
if no one
else. And what
about Thursday? And what about Thursday the 4th?
Thursday the 4th, there is no other meeting.
Why don't we grab it if nobody has an objection?
Yeah.
I might not be able to do it, but that's okay.
Okay.
You guys should
do it
anyway.
Some of it's going to be housekeeping and getting this stuff settled in. So, okay, very good. So except for Tracy may have a conflict of interest, is it acceptable to everyone else?
Yeah, again, Jim, I can't meet on Thursdays, but that's fine.
Thursdays, yeah.
Okay, well, we'll try to work on all of this next week so that we have a better feel for where everyone's at and what the schedules are looking like for the year, okay? Okay, very good then. I will send out notice with Otis later on tonight, I guess, for Thursday,
yeah.
March 4th, okay? So next meeting, 5:30 p.m. Pacific, Thursday, March 4th. Shall we go into executive session now?
I guess so.
Move to adjourn.
Okay. So, we don't have to have a second on that, correct? Or do we?
Correct.
Are we going immediately into executive session?
Immediately.
I think so. It's just a short item, and it's getting awfully late on the East Coast.
Okay. So we just hang up and dial back into the other number.
Correct.
Is there? Can someone help me with that other number or refer me to an email on it, please?
The PNB yesterday sent out a reminder notice of today's NFC meeting, and there should be the executive number and code directly under the one that you dialed to get into this.
I believe that I can send it to you, Fred.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tracy.
I'll be better next time around. Thank you, Tracy.
Okay, yeah. Just give me a second, and we'll find it and send it over.
Okay, great.
Good.
Okay.
Thank you,
bye.
Everybody. Talk to you next.